Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining me now is the ubiquitous Grant Waite, professional golfer, coach, caddy. Grant, you're doing it all. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I've never been described like that before, but thank you.
Well, what a pleasure to play a practice round with your son, Austin Waite, and Max McCready this past week at the BMW Charity Pro-Am. And boy, what a great week.
Yeah, well, it was also fun playing with you, just by the way. But yeah, it was. It is a great week. You know, they put on a really good tournament. The golf course was, despite all the rain, was in remarkable shape. And it was my son's first Korn Ferry event, so that was, you know, exciting for him. And it was fun for me to caddy for him. So it was a great week. And the tournament's still obviously going to finish up today, and it should be pretty exciting because there's lots of birdies out there.
Lots of birdies. Unbelievable how low they're scoring. I said it's Max McGreevy. I love that name, Max McGreevy. You caddied for your son, Austin.
Right. Yeah, he just wanted, as his first event, he wanted me on the bag just so he's familiar with me, obviously, and then he helped him feel a little bit more comfortable. I understand his game, so I could help him in certain situations, and it was good. You know, he played fine, didn't score as well as he liked, and made a couple of mistakes in the second round, and unfortunately led to a bogey, then a double bogey, and of course with the scores going so low, he then had to try and press to make birdies to make the cut, and he ended up not doing it. But he played, I was actually very happy with how he played overall, just the scores weren't there for him.
What's that father-son dynamic like, you know, as you, well, you coach him and caddy him now, you know, for him on the Korn Ferry Tour? I mean, that must be interesting, especially, you know, when you don't make the cut, it's disappointing.
Yeah, well, it is disappointing, and, you know, I'm probably as his father as disappointed as he is that he didn't make the cut versus, you know, a normal caddy-player relationship. However, my two sons both play golf, and my oldest one here is doing professionally. So when I help them, a lot of credit goes to them that they listen. You know, it's very difficult as a parent to coach, because as they're growing up, you're telling them, you know, you got to clean your room, do your homework, take the trash out, can't do this, you can do that, don't do this. And everything sounds like a command. And then when you start coaching, that starts to sound the same way. So I think that's why there's a lot of rejection from kids towards their parents as they try and help them play golf. Now, the only advantage I've got is I can do it and do it at a pretty high level and play it at the highest level possible. So I have a lot of legitimacy. So they listen, and that credit really goes to them.
Yeah, no, he was just, I just am so impressed with your son and all the guys I met this week. They're just incredible people and players. And can you pinpoint what separates the talent on the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour? I mean, there's so many talented players on the Korn Ferry Tour these days. And, you know, it's just so hard to make that leap, right?
Yeah, so the style of golf is a little bit different on the Korn Ferry versus the PGA Tour. Most of the Korn Ferry golf courses are a little bit shorter. They don't have quite as much rough, and the scores are just very, very low. Now, on the Tour, they're low as well, but not to the same extent. So the golf courses are a little more demanding. So when you look at the players out here, it really is a scoring tour where you have the opportunity to shoot extremely low almost every day. Now, there are a few courses that aren't that way, obviously, but we would say is majority of the courses they play are much more just shorter, a lot of wedge game, a lot of putting involved. Now, on the PGA Tour, you're going to have to play some more difficult shots. And so if you are playing well, it's easier to separate yourself from the rest of the field. But look, you know, I'm out here watching all these young men trying to get to the PGA Tour, and the talent level is just extremely high. It is, they are really, really good. And I think whoever comes out of here at the end of the year will be ready to play on the PGA Tour for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, how difficult is it to move up to the PGA Tour from the Korn Ferry?
Well, here's the thing, you know, it's you have to keep telling yourself it's the same golf. You know, you're it's still a tee box, a fairway, and then there's a green, and there's no real difference. That's what you tell yourself. So it's more, you all of a sudden you're comfortable on the Korn Ferry Tour, you've played well, then you move up a level, and then next thing you walk on the driving range and you're hitting balls between Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson, and you've watched them on TV and you know how great they are, and suddenly you feel like you have to play better than you know how, and it's just not true. If you play golf the way that you're capable, if you've graduated from the Korn Ferry Tour, then you're easily good enough to make it on the PGA Tour. So there's really a mental shift that you have to get past the fact that you think you have to play better than you know how, because you just don't.
Yeah, it's really more how you handle it mentally, right? It's all between the ears. It's the toughest mental game out there, right?
Yeah, you know, I always say to people that, you know, they say golf's such a mental game, and it's 100% mental, 90% mental. And I always say, well, every shot you ever hit is 100% mental and 100% physical. If you don't have the physical side of it, you're wasting your time. If you don't have the mental, emotional side, you're wasting your time too, because there's just too many people who can do both. So in the case of when you shift up a level, it's the same thing when you see people who are trying to win a tournament the first time. It's just more difficult than people who have been there before because they understand the process. And the same thing moving up to that level to get to the PGA Tour is the game is they're all good enough and you see it. It's just, can they handle the fact that suddenly, you know, they're out there playing at the highest level and their scrutiny of performance and the attention you get. Now, some people really like it and some people prefer not to have that. And that's a really, really a big thing. So that mental part is really, that's what you're dealing with. And I think if you can quantify that in your mind that, okay, still just golf, then you'll be fine.
Right. And talking about, you know, somebody who has the entire package is one of your students, somebody that you coach, and her name is Patty Tavatanikit, who won the ANA Inspiration. How did you connect with her? And she with you?
Yeah, so Patty, about almost a year ago now, came to me. She lives in Orlando, and she actually joined the same golf course I'm at. And she was playing, she was on the Symetra Tour, graduated out onto the LPGA, and she started playing on the LPGA Tour. And she wasn't playing her best golf. She just was struggling. And came to me and said, look, I'm not playing as well as I'd like. Can you help me? And, you know, immediately I played with her a couple of times and watched her and just watched her hit balls. And then we started talking about what I think she needed to do. And she liked what I had to say. And so we just started working together. And then I went and caddied for her at the end of the year, towards the end of the year in Georgia, so I could see what was happening in tournament golf. And I learned an amazing amount about how she sees a golf course and the shots she plays and what adjustments we really needed to make and her strengths and weaknesses. So we went to work on the off season, and you got to give her an amazing amount of credit, because instead of going back home to Thailand to spend time with her family, which she knew if she didn't do it, she wouldn't see them for a couple of years. She decided, I'm not, because of COVID, I'm going to stay here and work on my game, get ready for the season. So we spent quite a bit of time working on her game. And then at the start of the year, I caddied for her again at the first two tournaments, and she finished 5th and 13th. And we did that because we wanted to institute the changes that we had made and just see how they show up in a tournament, and so I could be there to problem solve for her. And once she got through those two tournaments, she understood what she was doing. I'm like, okay, you're good now. And she went on to win the ANA in really almost in record fashion. And if it wasn't for Lydia Ko's historic final round, she would have, and she still won by a couple, she would have won by 6 or 7. That's how dominant she was in that event. But look, you know, with Patty, she's she's always been a good player, and her parents, and especially her dad, deserve a lot of credit because he developed her, and she went to UCLA and won 7 times in 2 years. So it's not like she came from nowhere. She was good. She just had lost her game a little bit, and I just kind of helped to get back on track.
What a great success story. Now, does your approach as a coach vary when it comes to coaching the men and the women? Is it different at all?
Oh, it's very different. The demands for women's golf is totally different than men. Now, where men have a big advantage in this game is that they've just got speed and power and strength. They just got more of it. So they can overpower the golf course, and at times they can use their strength in a golf swing and overpower sometimes some average mechanics or not such great mechanics. But women, because of speed, they just cannot do that. So they have to be more precise. And I've always said that most men, average golfers or people who play golf as a hobby and love the game, should go watch the women play. And anyone should, because they play the game with precision. They cannot use, well, Patty may be a oddity. She's got some speed and power, but most of them have to place the ball around the golf course in a very precise manner. And they're good at it, and they're really good at it. I'd coached one other woman before Patty and never really been to an event. And since I went with Patty to those events, and now I'm coaching 3 on the LPGA Tour and just picked up a 4th one, I really, really respect what those women do, because they have to play the game differently. So when I look at their swings, there's some things that they must do that men just don't have to do.
Yeah, it's just a whole different game, right? The women and the men. Yet these women hit the ball a mile, you know.
They do.
Respect their power too, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is if you go watch the women on the LPGA, they hit the ball further than the average male. They do. Their club head speeds are, you know, up close to 100 mile an hour, just under 100 mile an hour. And when I give lessons to a lot of the average players, their club head speeds the same or less. And so if you really want to understand how to play the game at that speed, I would go watch the women, because, you know, you go watch Rory McIlroy or Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, the average person can never do that. They just got so much speed that they've developed over their lifetime that if you really wanted to understand how to play the game at your speed, the average player's speed, they should watch the women, because it is amazing how good they are for what they and how they play the game. I've just got a lot of respect for them. It's
absolutely
amazing to watch.
And I have a lot of respect for you, that you're coaching both men and women, and you're such a joy to be with. It's been such a great week at the BMW Charity Prom. Did you have the opportunity to enjoy, you know, all the festivities or Greenville at all, or was it all golf for you?
No, we you know, when I played the tour, we tried to make a point at times to go and just experience the local culture. And so we did that a little bit. And we had my son, we're good friends with King Griffey Jr., who played with my son. And so, we spent some time with them. And
Is he a power hitter on the golf course as well?
Yeah, well, as you would expect, he is. So he's got a lot of club head speed. He's got a little bit of problems with directional control, but he's definitely got the speed.
I give the pros a lot of credit for putting up with you know, us amateur golfers. That's for sure.
Well, look, I'll tell you this, and all the players are grateful for the opportunity to play a tournament. And if the amateurs are involved, we understand this is not what you do for a living, and they, you know, everyone's very patient, and they actually enjoy meeting different people and having a good time with the players that they play with.
Yeah, I just had the best time. And it gives me such incredible, as a journalist and a broadcaster in this field, it gives me so much more insight and even more appreciation for these guys. I've always respected them, but when you play alongside them, it's unbelievable.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.